Hi, this is Wayne Ivey, pastor at First Christian Church Conroe. Welcome to our Sunday worship podcast for Sunday, September the 13th. It's good to have you tune in. I hope you're having a good week, and I've got some good news for you, too. We will begin live worship the first Sunday in October. That will be on October 4th. So mark that down and come. Worship will be 10:45. We will be socially distancing and masking up and obeying all of the conditions for the pandemic that have been set out by our leadership. So October the 4th. We will continue to have our Thursday podcast and our Sunday worship podcast. So if you're not comfortable coming to worship just then, be sure and tune in to our website for the podcasts. I'm going to invite you now to spend some time, listen to the music, and prepare to be in worship together.
I worship you. miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. A way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Our call to worship this morning will be the most familiar words in all of Scripture. So place yourselves in an attitude of worship and hear these words from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As we prepare for a time of prayer together, there are concerns that we need to share. Let's keep Debbie's family in our prayers in the death of her daughter-in-law, Mary, this past week. We keep the Schneiders in our prayers in the death of Peggy's brother this past week, and also Megan, who is having medical procedures this week. We continue to keep Walt Welborn in our prayers as he recovers in Fort Stockton and in the death of his girlfriend. We keep those in the western states in our prayers who are battling the horrendous wildfires. We also want to keep all of those in our prayers who are suffering from COVID, their families, those who have passed. We keep our essential workers in our prayers. And we also, this day, as it's the weekend of the remembrance of 9/11, keep all those in our prayers who are still affected by that terrible, terrible attack on us. Let's do be in prayer together. Let us be in an attitude of prayer together. Living God, we seek your presence now. Our minds cannot understand you, yet our hearts cry out for a living relationship with you. Our eyes cannot see you, yet without you there would be nothing to see. Our faith cannot grasp you, yet in you we live and move and have our being. Our way ahead into this week is hidden from us, but we trust that you have prepared a way through for us. Renew our vision of the eternal truths in the light of which our day-to-day lives must be lived. Open our eyes to see your presence in the simple glories of everyday things. Light up our relationships with people by giving the living word of love in Jesus. Help us so to see where we went wrong in the past, that we shall be able to take our bearings afresh in the way ahead. In Christ's name, we pray in the way that He taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
of mercy, never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise thy mountain, fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above.
We live in a society that likes to measure things. Does a walk really count if we're not wearing our Fitbit or Apple Watch, making sure that each step we take is recorded? I'm bad about that myself. We enjoy reading statistics, analyzing budgets, watching polls, seeing how the numbers add up on the bottom line. Peter asked Jesus a question about the bottom line of forgiveness. How often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? Well, as if on the 8th time, Peter could turn vengeance or retribution instead of forgiveness. But Jesus doesn't measure things in times of numbers. He judges their value in terms of faithfulness. He answered him sort of facetiously, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. No electronic device could measure that much forgiveness. When we give to God's work, God is not keeping a ledger, checking the bottom line, or making sure our numbers add up. Instead, I believe that God is listening to our hearts. Are we giving joyfully? Or simply to meet an obligation? Are we responding to God's grace with our gifts? Or checking off a box on our to-do list? Let us give our gifts at this time, thanking God for God's immeasurable grace. Loving God, we know we can never say thank you enough, so we simply do what we can. We trust these gifts will please you because we give them from the heart, acknowledging the abundance with which you have blessed us. Thank you, God, for calling us to be partners in your work. Amen. The words on our communion table are, "This do in remembrance of me." I believe that Jesus intended for his followers to carry that meal forward with them through the centuries in the way that he had given it to them that evening. On the night that he was betrayed, he took the Passover with those whom he loved so dearly. After the meal, he took the loaf once again. He broke it. He blessed it. He passed it among them, telling them to eat, that this was his body broken for them. And that same way after the meal, he took the prophet's cup, Elijah's cup of community and welcome. After blessing it, he passed it among them, telling them to drink all of it. This was the cup of a new covenant that would be sealed with his sacrifice. We do come after those first followers celebrating his words, "This do in remembrance of me." Lord, bless this holy meal to our bodies and us to your continued service for Christ's sake. Amen.
For songs of loudest praise, teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise thy mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above.
The scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Malachi. It's that little bitty book right at the end of the Old Testament. It's only four chapters long. And Malachi, one of the prophets, really gets on the people that they are led by priests who don't know what they're doing. They've forgotten the words of the ancient prophets, and he really gets on them. Hear these words out of the third chapter, the 16th verse. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord heeded and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord, and they thought on his name. The word for the day is remembering. Now, I know I preached a sermon on remembering not too long ago, but after I preached the sermon, I remembered that I did not tell you everything about remembering that I meant to tell you. So I just remembered that, and so we're going to remember some more. It's as clear as that. Remembering plays such an important part of our lives, doesn't it? Our table of remembrance reminds us whose we are. Remembering keeps our heritage alive, does it not? And our faith remembrances, think of those. The cross, the empty tomb, the table of remembrance. When we remember them, we are reminded about whose we are. But when we remember, we also need to remember the good, the bad, and the ugly. For you see, remembering can enable us to not keep repeating the mistakes of the past. If we can do that, We get to make brand new mistakes of our own, don't we? So our children and our children's children cannot repeat the mistakes of their ancestors. Us. Remembering is so powerful. Remembering also calls us together in our shared humanity. It brings us together in something common that we hold with each other. I was on a mission trip to Ecuador. This has been years ago. And I happened to meet a young boy on my first trip to Ecuador. His name was Diego, and he was very sad. Both his parents had died, and he was being raised by his grandmother. And he was just one sad little boy. Well, my Spanish was not too good, but I was able to tell him this. Me llamo Diego también, y mi abuela también me crió. Which meant, my name is Diego too, and my grandmother also raised me. From that point forward, that whole week, Diego was my shadow. And I got to know him and love that little kid. I didn't see him on my next trip there, which was a couple of years later. Learned that he and his grandmother had moved into a different village. But it was so powerful that I was able to connect with him that way out of my past through his past. And we were able to share a moment that we wouldn't have been able to otherwise. Remembering can also be a powerful motivator for heroic action. In our history, the greatest generation comes to mind. You know, within a few short years, our parents and their parents, but mainly my parents, I'm that old. Our parents, they battled the Spanish influenza, they battled the Great Depression, and they battled World War II. And out of those experiences came the strength for America to lead the world into the second half of the 20th century and into the 21st century. And it was remembering those strengths that got them through. Can we, you and I, do that? Can we remember in such a way as to emulate their greatness but not make the same mistakes that they made? That is our challenge for the future. Question. What is your fondest or most powerful memory of your church life here at FCC Conroe? Or if you're not a part of our congregation, but you just kind of stumbled onto us or to our podcast, what is your most powerful or meaningful church memory? Just take a moment to allow that memory to become more real in your mind's eye. I don't have a particular memory here, but Mary Louise and I have found such love and acceptance here that all of the memories that we take forward from our time here will be among our best. It is my hope and prayer and expectation that our fondest memories at FCC Conroe are still in the future. Like the sign on the little church in Pennsylvania that I told you about, there is a great past in our future. I'm expecting that here there is a greater future in our past yet to come. What do you think? Amen.
You are here.
darkness, my God, that is who you are. A way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.